I'm Charlie Sohn, a screenwriter and journalist.
I'm Agnes Reese, a pop singer and songwriter.
And this is Mysteries of the Euroverse,
live edition.
This week, we're reviewing the songs from Norway, Greece, Sweden, Austria, Iceland, Spain, Slovenia, Czechia, and Ukraine.
And for our fourth and final live episode, we're crowning New York's best Eurovision song of 2024.
We take a look behind the scenes at all the scandal songs and queens. So come along as we traverse all the mysteries of the Euroverse. All the mysteries of the Euroverse.
We are back with our final live episode.
That's right. And our final live episode means this is the one where we crown New York City's best Eurovision song of 2024.
My God, I have been waiting for this moment. I don't even remember who we crowned. So it is going to be listening to this episode that gives me the information that I need. But no, it's a great episode. We have not one, but two very special guests for you. The first is Karen DiConcetto, who is a TV writer, a TV showrunner. She created the show Recovery Road for Freeform. And then she ran season two of a little show called Scum Austin. As Magnus knows well, Scum originated as a Norwegian show that was a runaway success, and then they produced versions of it around the world.
Yes.
Scum Austin was actually produced by Per Blankens, who is one of the producers for Eurovision 2024. So how's that for a tie-in?
I mean, that's a pretty close tie-in.
Karen was also, in her youth, part of a pop duo called Daphne and Celeste. And Daphne and Celeste had three singles on the UK top 10 charts.
We're also joined by Liam O, stage and screen actor, who is in Norman Lear's last television show that he wrote before he died, coming to Netflix very soon, we hope.
Yeah, so check your local listings or check your national
listings.
But if that weren't enough, this episode also features two Eurovision 2024 contestants. We have Marina Sati, who is representing Greece, and Hera Bjork, who's representing Iceland for the second time.
Oh, iconic. And finally, we got two Eurovision live covers for you. But I think that's enough talking about the live. And let's get to the live.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to the fourth and final Mysteries of the Euroverse Live.
So this is the amazing Liam O. So you will be able to catch Liam in The Core on Netflix, which...
If it's still called that when it comes out.
Oh, which my God.
They might change the name.
In untitled Netflix project. but I believe it's Norman Lear's last
show. It was Norman Lear's last project before he passed, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Karen DiConcetto created Recovery Road on Freeform, and then, and I'm going to have to calm my co-host down here because he is Norwegian, she ran season two of Scum Austin.
Being Norwegian, this was wild because... they weren't even going to show it on TV. They're like, we're making a web series in Norway. That's like making a school project on Roosevelt Island. And so it was like, suddenly it became like the biggest show in Norway.
She has had three singles on the UK top 10 charts.
In the 90s.
In the 90s, which to me is yesterday. So I don't know about everybody else.
Let's get to the first song of the evening. So we are moving to my home country of Norway. This is the band Gåte with the song Ulveham. They write a lot of their songs in Nynorsk. A weird thing about the Norwegian language is that it has two official written versions of the language, so you basically have to learn two spellings of every word. The lyrics are drawn from a 1,000-year-old medieval ballad about a young girl with an evil stepmother. They did have to rewrite the lyrics because they did them verbatim, and Eurovision says, it's gotta be original.
Oh,
She's like Florence and the Sheen meets Enya. Was anybody else getting Enya vibes?
Yeah, totally. It's like an aggressive Enya.
The song feels like fighting a wolf in the Norwegian tundra.
Ulv means wolf.
Really?
Yeah, so basically her stepmother, she banished her to be alone in the woods as a wolf.
All I've got to say is that if there is a score you can have for sounding exactly the way it feels, I think they would get a 12 on that.
So next we have Grease. Oh my God, yeah. So this is Marina Sati. The song is called Zari. The song is about a tumultuous relationship where the singer has now decided to kind of like throw caution to the wind, let things fall where they fall, and try everything again one more time. Now, Marina Sati has a background in classical voice and jazz. She also studied as an architect.
I was getting some Greek Rosalia vibes, which I deeply appreciate.
But don't you think she's also kind of like showing us her architecture background with like all of the ruins?
Oh my god. Do you think this was just her, this was her final project, probably?
Probably. I think she showed that she's like relatable yet cool in the video. I mean, I dug her.
We're going to move to Sweden. They are identical twins. This is Marcus and Martinus. So they won MGP Junior, which is the Norwegian like junior Eurovision competition when they were pretty young. And then they were also on the Norwegian Masked Singer a decade later. They are Norwegian, but they are representing Sweden. So this is Marcus and Martinus with Unforgettable.
If you told me that it came out in 1993, I'd say, yeah. If you told me it came out in 2007, I'd be like, yeah. And if you told me it came out in 2024, I would say, yeah, of course. Like, it is timeless.
Unfortunately, what I was thinking about was the potential of a quadruplet pop act during that. It just made me think more about like the untapped commercial potential.
What was that show?
John and Kate plus eight.
That show.
They could have it could be like the Monkees.
Yes.
So we are now moving to Austria. This is Kayleen. The song is called We Will Rave. Oh my God, we got some fans in the audience. I love that. This is a Eurovision special, right? Because it is co-written by Anders Rithov, who wrote Fuego, and then Jimmy Thornfelt, who wrote last year's winner, Tattoo.
That is someone who knows that gay bars love Eurovision.
Know your audience. But I'm curious about our ideas of like European pop being almost 20 years behind American pop markets in terms of style, and it's just Eurovision.
I think it's just Eurovision. Am I correct?
Time doesn't matter in Eurovision. You'll find stuff that is like super contemporary. People will bring folk music. People will bring stuff that is 20 years old sounding.
I was feeling real J-Lo vibes.
Yeah, no, definitely, right? Definitely.
And it was hot.
Okay, so moving on to Iceland. This is Hera Björk with Scared of Heights. Now, Hera Björk is one of two artists in this year's Eurovision who is a repeat player. She has previously been at Eurovision with Je ne sais quoi. So the Icelandic selection this year had a bit of controversy because the big favorite to win was Bashar Murad, who is Palestinian. Iceland considered dropping out due to Israel's participation. One of her songwriters is actually not going to Eurovision in protest. Baby, I'm falling. You're falling in love. It's got me scared of heights. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. Oh, I feel it coming. The reaction on that dramatic walk, Karen, was incredible.
In terms of the flip.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
My God, that's a 12, guys. That's a total 12, right? I know nothing about Eurovision, but I think that's sort of in the vein of like classic Eurovision.
Oh, we yes. need the drama.
A 12 for the Burgundy train.
Moving to our next song, I am honored to introduce Nebulosa. So, Nebulosa is representing Spain this year. It is a synth pop duo, a husband and wife team. They've been married for 20 years. They met when she was his nanny.
Oh, what?
It took until she was 50 for her to go to her husband and go, you know what, we should maybe we start a pop duo together. She owned a wellness spa. He was a music producer. And then this is what they came up with.
Okay. 12s across the board.
Yeah. Same. I mean, I think I just fell in love with Eurovision.
I will say that I listened to this song about 15 times before I realized that Nebulosa was not her name.
I think of it as a feminist anthem, but Zora means kind of what vixen, slut, kind
bitch,
of, yeah.
Kind of.
And the video actually on this front is great too, because it really is about her owning her sexuality. And there are all these like lovely, like, Spanish grannies in the audience who then start owning their sexuality too.
So moving over to Slovenia, this is Raven with the song Veronica. Now Raven has worked as an opera singer around Europe. She's won prizes as a harpist.
A multi-hyphenate.
Truly, truly. And the song is about the first woman to be convicted of witchcraft in Slovenia. She does make being burnt at the stake look quite pleasant.
Yeah, if it comes very
with,
sexy.
If it comes with those hot men, I might consider it.
It was the protective body paint. The body paint is actually anti, it's heat proof, so it's, it works well for that.
So I get much it now. To learn.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. If you had told me that Norway was being burned at the stake, the first one we listened to, I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. First witchcraft song. Right. But this one, I'm like, like, I mean, it looks too fun.
I was not in Salem, but that's my impression of what it looked like. All right, so we are going to move to the next song, which I have to say, as a 90s child, Chechia's song this year, I'm a big fan of it. This is Aiko with Pedestal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we have Aiko representing Bushwick with that haircut.
I'm a big fan of the, you know, the gothic emo punk revival that's been going on in general.
I loved her.
Right?
She's great.
Right? Like, yeah. She is Courtney Love.
Like, totally. She's like PJ Harvey and like, yes, Shirley Manson and like even like the fisheye lens of the camera. I'm like, come on. It's, yeah, so good.
It was co-written by a member of this British band, Blood Red Shoes. One of their big sort of crowning moments was at the Reading Festival. So basically, the Reading Festival is like a very like hard rock. Like at the time, it was like Slipknot and Rage Against the Machine, as were Daphne and Celeste.
So basically, Celeste, my bandmate, she really wanted to meet Eminem. And we found out he was playing Reading, and we were like, oh, why don't we just like tell everybody that we're playing it? We'll just lie, and then maybe they'll call us. They called us, and they said, hey, do you want to play? And we were like, of course, like, we'd love to. And then Eminem like had some legal problems here in the U.S., so he was unable to make it.
What about the people in the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, they were... they weren't happy that we were there. They were pretty mad. They threw a lot of shit at us.
They threw a wheelchair.
It's wheelchair, yeah. So somebody gave up their mobility because they hated us so much. It was like, you know, in like video games where you get to like the hard level? That's what it was. And we were just like dodging things. So we were like, oh, we have to stay on stage, you know, like, well, we have to do our songs.
But like, but I have to say, if you watch the video, it does not at all feel like, oh, we have to stay on stage, we have to do our songs. You guys like engaged with the audience.
We had to.
You guys like,
we were there.
It was it literally was the most punk rock thing I've ever seen.
The best thing is, was it Slipknot or Rage Against the Machine that afterwards was like, this is the most punk rock thing?
Yeah, I think it was Rage Against the Machine.
Amazing.
Yeah. What did Celeste's t-shirt say?
Who the fuck is Eminem?
Yeah. So she shows up on stage wearing a Who the Fuck is Eminem incredible t-shirt.
And then I had gotten into a fight with a guy from Placebo. and so I put I Love Brian on mine.
We are going to move on to our last song, not just of tonight, but of the whole thing. This is Ukraine with Alyona, Alyona, and Jerry Heil with Teresa and Maria. Now, Alyona, Alyona was one of 15 European pop acts who matter right now in the New York Times. And prior to that was a kindergarten principal, while Jerry Heil's YouTube channel has over 35 million views. So they're both pretty big stars in Ukraine, and they joined forces for Teresa and Maria. So they basically pre-taped the live show in a secret location. And when they went to the voting, they were like in an underground bunker with no audience so that, you know, they couldn't become a target.
And then the app that everybody was using to vote on went down. And like the internet was like hit with all of these like Russia conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
They had to delay the results a full day.
I would like her to be my school principal and do some educational raps in Ukrainian. I think that would have made me a much better student at the end of the day.
I thought it was awesome. It was unexpected. You know, like it started in one place and then it went to this totally other, like, ethereal place. And I was like, whoa, like the feels were there.
Okay, and now let's get to our interviews. We speak with Marina Sati, who represents Greece with the song Zari. But first, let's get to our interview with Hera Bjork, representing Iceland, for the second time, first in 2010 with Je ne sais quoi, and again this year with Scared of Heights.
I think we just wanted to start with your mother, actually, who's a famous singer. So music was probably part of your life from the very beginning.
I've been in music for all my life, going to rehearsals with my mom, hanging in the curtains or, you know, hiding under the tables while she was doing this thing. I grew up around all the musicians and all the big names. And to me, they were just like people. Some were nice, some were nicer. It's just like, you know, normal. I was not the kind of child that like was standing up on the table, like, look at me, look at me. I'm gonna sing for you. I was in my room. I was dancing for myself in front of the mirror and singing for myself more. I think it's what we call practicing and rehearsing. And I still do that. At like 10, 11 years old, I sang into a few like advertisement jingles for radio. And again, I just went with my mom to the studio, met her friend Gummi, and we recorded the jingles. And it was just like normal. But then around 15, 16, I decided to go for this competition. I felt so at home on stage with the musicians, with the audience there, just singing my song, hoping they'd like it, and then go off stage. And I won that competition. I was 16 years old back in 1988, back in the dark ages. Dark ages of 80s pop. But I remember, actually, the moment I decided I'm going to be a singer, I'm going to stand with myself, I was probably around 30 years old or something. Up until that point, I was just doing what I thought everyone wanted me to do. I was always comparing myself to others and blah, 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 like you do at a younger age. But I was probably around 30 when I was like, no, this is me. I'm good at this. So then the fun started.
Yes. Incredible.
Can you talk us about your earliest memories of the contest and what are the performers that stick out in your mind?
Up to this day, I don't know from which countries they are or what their names are because I didn't understand anything about that at that time. I remember the lady in the yellow dress. I remember the Finnish lady with the crazy hair that was so happy and I loved her. I remember the beautiful lady in the red dress, later found out that she was from Yugoslavia. I remember the brothers in the golden shoes and the funny, beautiful duet in the purple and pink. So that's the Bobby Sox. I know that today. Love the string and all the rock and roll. Love the string until you miss the all control. Love the string and all the rock and roll. And I was singing lyrics that I didn't have a clue about what I was singing. I was just singing consonants. I'm like, ooh. And so it was the melody and the sensation and the feeling that got me hooked. But I started watching Eurovision Song Contest around 1974 when I'm about 2 years old. And my mom was, this for her was like a feast. We didn't have these events in Iceland at that time. And certainly did we not have the television shows of that scale and quality at that time. So I remember how absolutely happy she was. When you asked me what her like best advice for me, never be romantically involved with your coworkers on stage. Never drink before a performance. Never drink and smoke before a performance. Done that as well. And then this one. Always be kind to the sound engineers. So these are the first people I go to. And I'm happy to inform you that today, I've been in the biz for, I don't know, 30 plus years, 35 plus years. Like 5 years ago, the sound engineers, all of a sudden, were women. I was just like, oh, a woman. And I absolutely love it.
You mentioned Bobby Sox. And one thing that we talked with Elizabeth Andreasen about, the number of Eurovision performers who go back and forth between stage and pop music. A lot of your early background was in theater. How do you think that informed your pop career?
What the theater does better than the pop scene is that they are more like organized and they have breaks regularly and they take care of their voices. But I think I learned discipline from the theater. And the moment you enter the stage, there is someone looking at you. So you need to have a purpose. You need to be there willingly and proud and at ease, because people are looking at you from the second you enter the stage. You, even though you're a backing singer or a dancer or just the one holding the flower, there's always a person with their eyes on you.
In 2000, you came out with your first album, Il Muravjolum, a Christmas album. Nearly 20 years later, you follow that up with Il Muravjolum 2, or the sequel. So can you talk about how that first album came about and why you decided to release a follow-up?
Well, because we can't have Eurovision all year round, we have to enjoy Christmas. So I would prefer to have 6 months Eurovision, 6 months Christmas, but I mean, I can't control everything. You know, it's not the jolly, jolly, holly jolly Christmas. It's more the spiritual one. It's still an album that people listen to, which is the greatest honor, because do you know how many Christmas albums there are? Like every year, there are so many to choose from. It's amazing when you sing a song that you sang for the first time 20 years ago and like 5-year-olds are singing with you. It's just amazing.
Incredible. Yeah.
And Christmas comes every year. So every year they go and they get your album and they put it on, and then back into the closet it goes. So my favorite albums are Christmas albums, because I always take them out year after year. And it's always the same 10 albums.
Yeah. Something that's interesting about that first album, and also 6 years later, your self-titled album, Hara Bjork, those live in a more acoustic kind of space. Like they're jazzy. They almost, it's like a cabaret club kind of style. Whereas obviously Je Ne Sais Quoi, as both the album and the song, has a much more electronic, more dancey feel. A lot of your work after that has sort of lived in a much more modern pop space. Can you talk about that shift?
I had nothing to do with it, really. I went to Eurovision. I went to Eurovision in 2008 with the Euroband, and I met these amazing songwriters from Sweden and Denmark. And a few months later, they presented me to a song called Someday. Someday love will shine. Someday you will find. And that was an instant love relationship when I met that song. And that song pushed me into more of this schlager pop kind of genre. And then from there, into the arms of Je Ne Sais Quoi. So from one lover to the other. I probably thought that I was going more into jazz, even into more towards rock, because I love rock and roll music, classic rock. I just absolutely love that. I think it's in the song. I don't care about the genre. It happened again this year. This song completely caught me off guard and swept me off my feet like in 30 seconds. And that's why I'm here in this really, really amazing, strange, sweet and sour train ride towards Eurovision.
In 2010, you represented Iceland with Je Ne Sais Quoi. Can you talk about what that song meant to you and the process of putting that number together?
That song really came easily. It really came quickly to me and Öki Örlygsmári, my co-writer. We both work from our instincts and our intuition when it comes to like, oh, that's a good line. Oh, that's a fantastic melody, you know. The song was almost there. And the we were like, oh, I need something open. That's going to be the phrase. We're going to open up on that one. For weeks, we were like, oh, the song was there, but the lyrics weren't there quite. And I was in charge of the lyrics. So at one point, when we hear this coming out of the mouth of a judge in the British You've Got Talent or X Factor or some of those shows, he says, oh, I absolutely love you. You have that certain je ne sais quoi about you. And I was just like, oh, oh, but what does that mean? And we start to like, Google it up, and or maybe we needed to read it in a book. I don't know, at that time, 14 years ago. So call a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
So we found out that this was this friend's phrase that means that you have this extra something that you can't put your finger on. And then when I tried or just like, je ne sais quoi, and with a quoi, I was just like, this is it. It's the right amount of letters, open vowels, and it has this twist, it's French, and then English, and we're from Iceland, oh my God! And the lyrics came in half an hour. We had did the research on this phrase, je ne sais quoi. It's these moments, you know, you meet people, you go, oh, hi, you know, you just feel an instant connection, and you don't know why. Or you taste food that you go, ooh, you know.
And Je ne sais quoi has become such a fan favorite, and particularly among queer Eurovision fans.
Yeah.
But you've talked about how your relationship to the gay community began much earlier. Can you expand on that and tell our listeners about the Pride song you wrote?
That was a good one. That also came very easily. Actually, I would say that Scared of Heights and the Pride song are like in the same place in my heart. My relationship between me and the queer community is the biggest je ne sais quoi moment, mystery in my life, because I just absolutely felt like home. Empathy is something that comes easy to me towards others, shall we say. I had to train myself and to show myself empathy. That was a tough training. But it came easy to me to give attention and empathy to others. And we are talking about, you know, the 1980s, 90s. We have the AIDS virus, the most scariest hell on earth. I tried to be to those who were like getting disconnected from their families just because they were gay, to be a part of their family. They saw me as who I was better than I did myself. So they were an amazing mirror for me.
Moving to Scared of Heights.
Look how far we made it, standing on the edge of a promise.
Thinking about Je ne sais quoi, like it's this kind of idealistic, completely like open love, and Scared of Heights feels more hard won.
Yeah, the lyric to that song is in a way a conversation between two people, and I am asking the one standing in front of me, like, I'm really into you, being it as a lover, as a co-worker, as a friend. I want to take this relationship up to the next step, and I'm asking you, should we jump together, or am I jumping alone and falling flat on my face, getting heartbroken, but standing up and doing it all over again? We've all gone through this, and we are also afraid of the rejection, of the no. But me, sitting here at the age of 52, going through menopause, hey, the no's in my life are the ones that have made me grow the most. So I would say now, please, ask everyone, always give me a yes or a no, and get as many no's as you can, because that's going to make you grow even faster and even grow into a more beautiful human.
Obviously, the contest this year is happening against the backdrop of the war in Gaza. There were a lot of questions about whether Iceland would participate. So I guess kind of a dual question of like, how did you think about that decision to participate? And secondly, the EBU and Eurovision, how do you think they should respond to this? Do you believe that Israel should have been not allowed in the competition this year?
I think you should never kick a person that's lying down. In my mind, both Israel and Palestine are lying down. Nobody's winning this war. One is more aggressive than the other, has like backings that are more powerful, and it's gone way over where it should have gone. And to me, Eurovision should definitely be what it has always been, a safe place for everyone. We have had years where we had Russia, of course, and people were against it, but taking it out on the artists and on the music, for me, Peace is what I want. Empathy with people, canceling them is not the method. We should embrace them, even as hard and ridiculous as it sounds. I think it's a better way so that people let down their arms. If Eurovision should stand as a beacon of hope, and everyone are welcome to be there as long as you're not breaking their rules of participation.
Hera Bjork, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's been a
so
real
much.
Honor.
We will be in Malmö, so we can't wait to see you live on stage.
Fantastic. See you come there. From each side and hug me.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Of course. We will absolutely
a sandwich
that.
Hug.
Yay!
You're overs.
Okay, we are here with Marina Sati, who is representing Greece this year with the song Zari. Marina, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much.
Now, you've talked about Zari as a song about luck, but it also seems to be a song about grappling with and perhaps re-engaging with a tumultuous relationship. Can you talk about how the song came to be your Eurovision song?
Yeah, although I had discussed with ERT, the Greek national channel, the previous years about going to Eurovision, I didn't feel that ready. It's a very big exposure, and I only started writing my own songs and releasing my own songs in 2016. So, you know, I felt that I had to be stronger and to learn more things before I go on this stage and speak to so many people. When I first accepted this invitation, we didn't have a song. We had to call many songwriters and producers from all over the world to send us their music ideas. I had in my mind that I wanted something that is close to the vibe of the music that I've been doing lately in my life, which is, you know, urban music and elements from Greek traditional music, also from the Balkans and from the Eastern Mediterranean region. All these countries, we have many common elements in the music all over the Balkans, Albania, Serbia, Bulgaria, Greece, Turkey. We share so many common sounds. Since we have been traveling a lot with my band since 2018, all over Europe and all over the world, people had not so much information about Greece, actually. So my goal was to introduce all this, the past, the present, ideally, the old, but also the new. And I don't know, I hope we have achieved that.
It's so great that you bring up the idea of showing people Greece's present, right? And this is where the video for Montissa is really just incredible. And I'd love it if you could talk about it.
I think that my hidden dream is to become a director at some point and actually to make documentaries. What I like to do is always have different layers of intention and of storytelling in my project. The video of Mandisa is a happy video where I go in the streets with my girls, my girlfriends, my friends, and we dance. But it's in the center of Athens. It was shot during a period of the crisis of Greece that everyone around the world was talking about the crisis and about the center of the city. And, you know, I wanted to bring like a more positive vibe in these streets. So for me, it was very important like to go and walk like a gang in the middle of the street with a one-shot video, no cut. Actually, the lyrics are talking about having your wings open and flying, and no matter what, despite the bad weather, you keep going. So that was also the intention of the long-shot video that we did. That was at a period where I was super sad and super depressed, trying to get used to this new reality of Greece. How can I change this? And then I remembered all these stories that my grandparents used to tell me in the war. And I realized that it's cycles in life and cycles in history where there's the ups, there's the downs, and you need to find a way to twist it. Now, regarding Zari. The song that we are representing Greece in the Eurovision, it's also shot in the center of Athens. It's a little bit humoristic, speaking about these stereotypes that I realize that people abroad have about Greece, like the ancient times, the Acropolis, the 12 gods, Zeus. Everybody was introducing me as Marina Sati, the girl from Greece representing Greece. So I was like, okay, hi Europe. around. Welcome to Greece, and I'm going to be your guide around the city, you know? NMR, who's this like super strong duo from Greece, who are the creative directors and doing all the visuals for the Eurovision act. They worked with Travis Scott, and they worked with Kanye West, and they worked with like huge brands in Europe, but they're based in Athens, and also the dancers and everyone. So I feel that this team represents the young people in Greece who are active right now, who are super amazing at what they do and super creative. I'm going to be a little bit personal. The recent years I've been trying to do things in Europe and traveling around in festivals. And I don't know if people realize, you know, even Greece is in Europe. Sometimes I feel that it's far from the game, you know. It's not that like I take a train and I go from London to Paris or from Paris to Switzerland, you know. So I've always felt like, oh my God, I wish I can be part of the game without changing who I am, without singing necessarily in English. And it is actually crazy right now that people listen to the song and like the song in the Greek language, and they can vibe and they can dance to it.
We just wanted to talk really briefly about your album, Yena. It's gorgeous. And yes. I was very struck by Yati Kouliem.
Yati.
Yes, thank you so much for asking this and for studying. Yena is actually the one and only album that I have released. It's called Birth, actually, that's what it means. The title Yena came from a friend of mine who used to tell me, come on, Marina, I've been knowing you for so many years and you've been always struggling with the creative process. So this is a kind of birth, you know, and every time you're trying to bring something new from inside of you, it's going to involve pain, but it's also going to involve renaissance and change and evolution. And the first song is actually a traditional song, Yati Poulim, which the lyrics speak about, why, my bird, can't you sing anymore the way you used to sing before? And the bird replies, how can I sing how I used to sing before? They've cut my wings. And that's how I felt before I completed this album, really inspired a lot in my music by Turkish music. So I wanted to go there and walk in the streets. And I feel that it's so, so rich in tradition and in culture. And also all these things about like Greece and Turkey history, for me, it's so emotional that we have so many similarities with this country next to us.
Amazing. That's amazing. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
All right. And before we get to the results, we have two very special musical performances for you. First, Liam O is going to take on a particularly difficult song in the Eurovision canon. We are talking Sam Ryder's Spaceman. And then our very own Magnus Reese has a surprise mashup of Eurovision 2024 songs that he is going to share.
And then we will finally get our results for who won our award for Best Eurovision Song 2024, awarded by the people of New York City.
It's beautiful. But no, thank you so much for sticking with us through these lives. We're going to be back next week with an episode all about hosting Eurovision, the effects that the contest has on the host city, reasons why a host country might want to host the contest, and even a little bit of a window into the job of hosting Eurovision itself, as we're going to be interviewing NCIS LA star and the host of Eurovision 2018 in Portugal, Daniela Rua.
We also sit down with Dylan and Becky Ann Baker, fantastic actors, and also a lovely married couple. And they were kind enough to let us come to their apartment and play a game of Tops and Bottoms, I Can Host Edition.
But before we get to any of that, let's get to our results and brilliant musical covers.
Tonight I'd be floating in midair, and a broken heart would just belong to someone. someone else down there. I would be the center of my lonely universe, but I'm only human and I'm crashing down to earth. If I was an astronaut, I'd have a bird's eye view. I'd circle around the world and keep on coming back to you. In my floating castle, I'd rub shoulders with the stars, but I'm only human and I'm drifting in the dark. Search for other life, but I'd be up here thinking about what I left behind, cause I'm only human with the real world on my mind. I'm up in space, yeah. Up in space, yeah. I search around the universe,
okay, so it's time to announce our results of the night. So in third place tonight is
Slovenia.
Now in a second place of the night, we have Aliona, Aliona, and Jerry Heil. That's Ukraine. Time to know what your favorite song of the night was. Spain!
This is Nebulosa
with Zora. Okay, give it up for Spain.
Before we announce our top three of the entire series and award the best Eurovision song of 2024, we have one more very special live performance for you.
I felt like I couldn't go through the season and not pay a little homage to my home country of Norway. Of course, Goethe is representing Norway, but I kind of feel a little bit of ownership over Sweden as well, because Marcus and Martinez, the twins, They are Norwegian, so...
Which is funny because normally Sweden feels ownership over Norway, historically speaking.
Literally. But so I decided, why pick one when you can pick both and mash them together? To know who New York City has picked.
So third place is Armenia. Ladaniva Yako.
Okay. Now second place, we have Switzerland, Nemo with the code. Okay. We've come to the final moment. What is the song that New York City has picked as the best Eurovision song of 2024?
So the country is Italy.
Angelina Mango with La Noia!
Noia.
Well, this is our last live.
Yeah.
There will be more episodes to come, including episodes from Sweden.
But
until then,
happy Eurovision.